Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, everybody? We are recording an episode of Unpeeling Syracuse Basketball. I'm your host, Dylan Feiner, here with my co-host, Bobby Manning. What's up, Bobby?
Hello, it's March Madness! Woo!
Hey, we're finally here. We're happy to be here. Sorry that we haven't been here in a while, here this ambiguous.
It's beautiful to see the world care now. We've been just diving into college basketball since January, and now everyone else cares too.
Yeah, it's finally.
If you just join us, welcome in.
Yeah, you know, good time to join us. Yeah, it's finally here. I feel like we kind of got into a lull for a while, and I know there was some talk, do we need the one game in the ACC tournament? We need that, and we felt ourselves kind of inching toward that edge. I admittedly felt like maybe there's a chance we fall out of favor, but you know. All that worrying for naught. We're in the tournament. We got a pretty good seed. Decent draw, I would say. I'm pretty happy about it. Could have been worse. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing because for the first time since really 2014, they were a lock. And it didn't seem like it was close at all. And NC State, Clemson getting knocked out was a little scary. You know, Indiana was a borderline team. But those teams all ended up being a notch below Syracuse. And really, I think it was the Duke win that just separated them.
Yeah, I heard some people say this on Twitter, and so I don't want to pretend like this is an original thought, but I definitely sympathized. Once we were in, it was kind of like, I wish that we kind of had that thrill of making it on the bubble.
Yeah, I know.
And so we got that excitement because Selection Sunday was kind of boring, you know? We knew we were in and we knew how things were going to – we're just waiting to see what our bid was.
I don't know. Watching the NIT today and seeing Texas, NC State, Clemson, those teams just muddle through that. I don't want the scare of possibly ending up there because there's no worse feeling in the world.
Yeah, but don't you think that we'd rather – assuming we got in, under the assumption we get in, isn't it a little more fun to wait until that last second, finding out that you're in for sure?
That was pretty fun last year.
Yeah,
the celebration was pretty crazy. Yeah. Matt Moyer and everything.
I mean, it's nice to be out of the first four, though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we get to wait till Thursday at 10 o'clock. Good start.
Right? 10 o'clock p.m., man. We were complaining about 8 o'clock games earlier this year. 9 o'clock even. We had one against UNC. And now we get to 10 o'clock.
Well, we did 9 o'clock in both ACC tournament games, too. So it's pretty much going to be the whole way there for us.
Yeah, big West Coast trip, time zone change. Syracuse out a day earlier than I think most teams get out there. Get used to the time zone change, a little strategy, a little gamesmanship from Boeheim.
Yeah, and they get another night in the hotel, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think walking into that road mindset is really good for the team. And that's something they talked about all year. When they get into that mindset that they're, you know, out of Syracuse and, you know, on a business trip pretty much. I think they've played good on the road this year. That
shoot
bodes well
on
for this
road.
Tournament. Shoot better on the road. Dio had a good article about the, you know, site. Seeing in the corner threes and all that at the dome, what do they call it? I don't even know. But shooting at the dome, a little difficult for some people, they say. And now they're in the tournament, facing teams that aren't used to the zone. All these things you hear about.
This is what we wait for.
Oh, you just get in and get done with it. So I'm writing tomorrow. Feel good about Syracuse, and I've been the optimist all year. You know from the show. I have a feeling that this is a good team. And now that they're finally out of the ACC fold, I think the only ACC team in their bracket's Florida State. So now that they're out of that, I feel amazing. Three ACC one seeds, they get the bracket without the one. good with me.
Hey, this is our time to shine, right? So, like, even if it does turn into some ugly basketball, and, I mean, we can anticipate it probably will at some point, whether it's the first round or the second round, to be determined. But, you know, we'll trade ugly basketball for some March wins, right?
Absolutely. And so Baylor's the first opponent. We'll get to them at the end of the show with a preview. I know Dan and John got into them a little bit. But let's talk that ACC tournament, because you go into that without Tyus Battle. He took the mean spill against Clemson. I remember seeing it when I was out in L.A., and I was like, oh, that doesn't look good. That could be a missed game.
Kind of forget about it for a few minutes, right?
Well, like, a few days go by. Yeah, no one says a thing about his status. And then, like, a few hours before the Pittsburgh game, he's out.
Yeah, and I threw this in the Slack chat. I said that he was pictured warming up. Syracuse Instagram puts out the videos and stuff, and you saw pictures of him warming up. I imagine that he was if it was a tournament he was playing, the NCAA tournament, that is. But, you know, we felt like we could beat Pitt probably even without him, and then we would see from there. I guess Boeheim felt comfortable enough, and then you get into the rust debate thing. How you feel?
Well, it definitely is a look into the mindset on how much they emphasize the ACC tournament, which isn't a lot. They're now, 2-5 there, I believe.
Yeah,
is their
we
record.
Lost a lot of games the first
round. Yeah, so they don't emphasize it a ton, and it's easy to see why. You get the conference wins in the schedule. You really just try to get by against the first round teams, and it was very easy to do so this year. I mean, they cruised by Pittsburgh even without Battle, which was. Second half.
First half was a little scary. First half was like the nightmare scenario, right? You know you're going into the game without Tyus Battle. You sit down to watch this game and you're like, well, you know, it'll give a chance for some other guys. Let's see how Jalen Carey can play. Let's see if Buddy Boeheim steps up to the plate. Frank Howard, who had been struggling, you know. You're kind of just saying, like, maybe these guys step up. And what do you know? They do. It takes 20 minutes for them to round into form. And in that 20 minutes, I mean, myself included, I'm pretty nervous. Everybody's standing around looking at each other like, you going to step up? You going to step up? Not a lot of ball movement. We're used to that.
The offense was definitely the real concern in that first half. Defensively, a guy hits 5-6 threes like Jared Wilson framed it.
Right.
That was really all Pittsburgh had going for them, and he knew it wasn't going to go that way the rest of the half.
Right.
He tied the Pittsburgh record for threes in a game, I believe.
So, 36 points in the first half. That's a lot on the Syracuse zone.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of that was driven by him. Didn't see too much going for anybody else. I mean, it was really a great matchup for Cuse because you'd rather see them than BC, especially the way Cuse just seems to wrap up the business. Also, one way or the other, they were going to get a rival, right?
Yeah. You know what? Like, we kind of laugh at that, but, like, maybe let's just appreciate it, you know? If Pitt starts giving us battles over the next couple of years, like, I mean, we want to look at Pitt as our little brother and stuff, but, like, and we don't root for them to be good, of course, but... You know, let's not completely throw it out. We're going to have to embrace it at some point.
Yeah, we'll do that when the day comes.
When the day comes. Fair enough.
Three non-conference wins. I guess it's a step up on zero the year before.
And they're a young team.
All right,
they're
so two big takeaways out of that game.
Elijah Hughes plays 40 minutes. Yeah. I don't know if he's a big takeaway, but he plays 40 minutes. I was impressed. He dropped 18. He shot 5 of 9 from 3. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. That was the Elijah Hughes that was playing well in the first half of conference play. Or was it the first half?
Yeah.
Of conference play? Yeah. Kind of like early conference play, late non-con play when he was really hitting his stride. He kind of doled out for a part of the season, but we saw him step up in this one.
I think, yeah, the turning point was that 3/4 court shot he had against Duke. And there he kind of recreate that kind of magic. So my big two takeaways, I mean, it's great. Hughes withheld that frame run that was going on in the first half, but really Frank Howard taking over from the three-point line really just seemed to boost his confidence for the next game. And then Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, go ahead.
The story of the season really is Buddy Boeheim, because never mind this guy cracking the rotation, which was to begin the season, never mind him playing the big minutes off the bench. I mean, for him to become a starter and then, like, the most important point of the offense in both ACC tournament games, nobody could have imagined that coming into this year. Big reason the team is where they are is because he stepped into the fold, allowed them to run those battle lineups during the year.
Yeah.
And then he was, I mean, I wrote it after the Pittsburgh game. He pretty much stepped in the battle shoes for that game.
Yeah, the scorer that Syracuse needed. And you know what? This emergence of Buddy Boeheim is going to be critical, especially, I mean, we'll get to Baylor. We'll get to them. But they play a little bit of zone. Buddy Boeheim has turned into a bit of a zone killer, and that's going to be important.
And only the killer period. Did you see where he was pulling up from against Pittsburgh?
He's sniping.
Oh, miles behind the three-point line. Like, I wrote, you know, he stepped in the battle's shoes and shot from places the battle could only dream of. And he's extending teams out on him. You saw where Pittsburgh was guarding him way out behind the three-point line. And he's got that look in his eye when he's shooting out. Like, he knows he's going to nail
it. The spacing that Syracuse has needed has come from Buddy. And he's forcing teams to step out, man. It's a lot of fun to watch because the floor opens up, and especially when Tyus comes back, imagine the driving space. You give Brissett a little bit. I know he didn't have a great game against Pitt, but you give us Brissett a little bit more room to work from the high post. Dolezal with his passes. It's going to be fun to watch the emergence of Buddy Boeheim, especially over the next few years, too.
Yeah, and the Duke game that followed up that, highly encouraging.
Yeah,
even in a loss. You know, you score 70 points, which I think, you feel good about Syracuse's offense coming out of that. You feel phenomenal about how Howard looked. I mean, he wasn't quite the overall impact that Zion was, but for him to go toe-to-toe with Zion offensively from a point standpoint, like, you don't think anyone on Q's is going to at least match the point-for-point total that Zion had in the game, and Howard went out and did it.
Right, not going to – I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit. Because of the six turnovers. I mean, he was such a high usage player that you kind of expect that from Frank Howard at that point.
The team was a turnover mess the whole game, which was frustrating.
And Duke is incredible on defense, man. Like, they're phenomenal. Zion, we just watched a clip of it. He's so good at that come-from-behind steal, you know, when someone's not paying attention. And he cookied us a few times.
And foul trouble became a story in this game, too. Right. Chukwu couldn't play the whole game, pretty much. Then he comes in. Boeheim made the right move, 8.5 minutes left, turning back to Chukwu. No Bolden in this game. He's a big advantage for Q's every time he's in there because no one can match up with him size-wise. And he really just falls over a guy in a backcourt about 30 seconds later. And, like, that's just the most Chukwu way ever to fall out of the game. And, you know, Sidibe did his best in the rebounding game when he got out there in the first half, gave them some solid minutes. I still don't think he's going to be playable as far as March goes just from what we saw this year. And Boeheim, again, phenomenal. Shot them back into the game. I think my biggest takeaway from this game is that Q's really didn't let up. They went down by 10 about three times and got right within striking distance every time.
Right, yeah. The battling was the most encouraging part. And there were parts of this game that got kind of ugly. Like, when Duke scored, they scored in spurts. Uh-huh. And Syracuse, it's that rock fight style that can keep Syracuse in games against the big dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Against the Dukes, the North Carolinas. I mean, North Carolina, not as much. They sort of have our number as of late, at least. You got the Dukes, the Tennessees, the Gonzagas that we are hoping to hang in games with. The rock fight style is what's going to do it, and when Syracuse turned it to a rock fight, that's when they climbed back, when they grinded out the possessions. They weren't turning it over, right? That's going to be a key in the tournament. The turnovers led to points on the other end. I mean, Duke is phenomenal in transition, as good as any team in many points
in the turnover game. And
17 turnovers.
Yeah, their transition attack was phenomenal. Right from the jump with that Zion steal and slam, broke the game wide open, and that was his first game back. Perfect game.
13 of 13
in his first game back. It was unbelievable to watch. So many possessions. He just completely demoralized Q's by hopping on the offensive boards. Like, he probably had about 4 or 5 putbacks in the game.
Look at that smile right there. You saw that smile when he came into the game when they announced him, dude. I was so happy to see Zion back. Little sidetrack here.
Here's what makes him so likable. The whole world's chirping about the NCAA thing, and, you know, people are right about that, but that doesn't, like, take Zion's voice into it. I mean, it might be the most corrupt system in the world, but if he likes playing college basketball, then, you know, that's his choice.
And he has so much fun. He's got a smile on his face. He's a competitor through and through, and he's a lot of fun to watch. He's fun for the fans. Like, you know what? Politics aside, dude, politics of the NCAA aside, he's so much fun. One of the more rootable players in the country. I don't care. Get your oh, there's too much Zion on ESPN. Get that out of my face, man. He is so fun, and I want to see as much of him as possible. He is one of the most compelling, if not the most compelling, college basketball player of my lifetime. I don't want to speak for other lifetimes. Jimmer Fredette's probably up there. Steph Curry when he was at Davidson. A few other players. Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis were pretty fun.
Anthony Davis was really fun. I still love that year he had at Kentucky quite a bit. But besides that, I think he's number two. And, you know, Tim Britton, who writes for the Mets, said it himself. He's a Duke grad. Probably the most likable Duke player ever.
Dude, he's so much fun. And I love the guy. But this isn't a Duke podcast. This is a Syracuse podcast. Let's talk a little bracket talk here. We'll just give the general look at it. I'm sure that you guys don't need us to fill you in. You've been consuming your bracket content already, but we're going to do it anyway. We'll talk a little bit about it.
I don't know how we're going to fill out a bracket until we see how Farley Dickinson versus...
Didn't that one finish up already?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're recording. It's 10:21. I think that one finished, dude. I closed the.
How are we gonna fill out a bracket without Fairleigh Dickinson and who's gonna play Gonzaga?
So, Fairleigh Dickinson won, dude.
Oh, Fairleigh Dickinson's in. All right, we can do it. We can do it.
So Belmont Temple is going on right now. But yeah, all right. Let's talk the rest of the bracket. So. Quick takeaways, I immediately looked for Washington because we root for our guy Mike Hopkins. Utah State, not a great draw, but...
Well, here's the thing. I mean, how do you lose the Pac-12 if you're Washington?
Oh, all right, yeah, okay. We can talk about that for a minute. Oregon is streaking, though, and Oregon saw our zone earlier this season, which might have been a little bit of an advantage. They saw the Washington zone in conference play. They might have been a little more prepared. They have Peyton Pritchard, good point guard, and a couple shooters. The tall guy, Wooten, who's pretty good in the paint, made it tough for Washington to score. Oregon's a team to look out for. I like them over Wisconsin, maybe. Don't want to talk about Oregon too much. Whatever. Washington, though, with North Carolina on deck, even if they get through Utah State, and I expect them to. I hope they do.
Utah State's solid team. They should beat them, though.
But North Carolina, dude, you get to see, like, oh, that stinks, man. Roy Williams and his team is ready to take on that zone.
And they're as good as anybody in the tournament, and I don't know how they didn't pull off that Duke win with the first half that they did. It was just an unbelievable run by Duke to win the ACC this year. But, you know, tournament season was pretty interesting. We talked about Washington losing theirs. Murray State had a big upset win in their tournament. Yeah. St. Mary's beat Gonzaga and beat them badly.
Dude, tournament collusion?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't actually believe in that stuff, but I thought it was pretty funny that people thought Gonzaga would actually throw the game to get another West Coast team into the tournament in St. Mary's. You didn't see that conspiracy, Ryan?
Well, I mean, St. Mary's doesn't end up in their bracket, do they?
No. But, no, they're in the tournament, though. They play Villanova. Yeah. Maybe I just follow some crazy people on Twitter, but I saw that floating around the Twitterverse.
Their tournament went real quick against Villanova because I think Villanova, Big East winners, is going to go far again. I'm a big fan of that team. You know, the bid stealing just really came into play this year, though, because Clemson doesn't get in, NC State doesn't get in, well, Indiana doesn't get in.
Not sure these teams were the teams on the bubble, though, or that close to the bubble. You're TCU, talking UNC Greensboro was the biggest one with Washington
losing.
They're
the first team out, yep.
Yeah, so, all right, two teams. We'll do this quickly. Two teams you like. Let it be known. Tell the world.
UNC, I love.
Okay, all right, come on. Everybody knows.
Oh, so the sneaky teams.
Sneaky picks. Two teams you like, under the radar.
This one's not so far under the radar anymore because they made the run they did in the ACC tournament. Florida State is a phenomenal team. Deep. Drake. It's such a hard name to say. Joaquin Gray, that's his name, deep off their bench. They were comparing him to Draymond Green, which is a little far on ESPN. But, I mean, he's a great big man off the bench for them.
Okay.
We know Cabenjale. We've talked about him so much on this show. He just completely tore Syracuse to shreds and has many other teams as well. They beat Virginia in the semifinal of the ACC. Just an incredible win for them. They are going to be a Final Four team in my eyes out of this West region, which is a bold pick West with Gonzaga region. Out there.
Syracuse.
With Syracuse out there,
Michigan.
Too. Michigan. I got Michigan.
That's
going to
be a fun rematch.
Early.
If that happens, if you get the Michigan-Florida State rematch, that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, team two?
All right, my second team. You know, why not say Villanova? You know, Villanova, I think.
You got them in your Elite Eight.
Yeah, they're going to go further than people think, even though they had those horrible losses early in the season in non-conference play. They bounced back and had a great season in the Big East.
Did you see the tournament? The semifinals and the final?
Yeah.
Dude, really fun down the stretch. And Seton Hall streaking, too. Seton Hall gets a tough draw. They played Villanova really tough. Yeah. You can go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think the Big East prepares these teams well for the tournament run. We've seen a number of Big East teams, and it's Mon and Carnation make big runs. Butler included under Brad Stevens. These recent Villanova teams, they're going to be a tough team, and I think they have a good path. St. Mary's, Purdue, Tennessee, I think, is on the down end of where they were earlier this year. So look for them to make a little bit of a run. I believe in Virginia this year too, even after what happened last year.
Yeah, no, I'm in on Virginia as well. My under the radar teams, and not so under the radar in these parts of the country, I'm talking Buffalo. CJ Massenburg is primed to be like that dude.
I'm very conflicted about them.
They have a really tough draw because, all right, let's just say, I don't know too much about Arizona State, but if St. John's wins, St. John's is a really talented team. And then you're talking Texas Tech, a potential matchup in the second round, who they are locked down on defense. They definitely have a lot of athletes. They like to push the tempo a little bit, speed teams up.
That West is, you know, a tough conference. I think the Syracuse end of it worked out better, even though you're playing the one seed round two. I'm just not crazy about Gonzaga.
The bottom of that bracket's a gauntlet, man.
It's tough.
And Nate Oates will have his guys ready. CJ Massenburg's ready to take over
Marquette's
this tournament.
Marquette's out there, too. Murray State.
I got Buffalo in my Elite Eight, but I got them falling to Michigan.
I have them losing round one, believe it or not.
To who? Who do you think? St. John's or ASU? Call your shot here. Call your shot.
Give me St. John's.
Yes. Shamari Pons, man. Pons, Mustafa.
Last team into the tournament. That's going to be a little bit of fire under them. My thing about Buffalo, I watched them struggle in their conference, and that's just always an... You're done for me. If you're playing mid-major, Gonzaga 2 to lose the West.
Hey, but Nate Oates had his guys ready last year to take down a really strong Arizona team. I'm hoping that it happens again this year.
Well, Arizona was headed by a guy who said you can't come back down 20, so.
So Cincinnati is another team that I'm looking out for. I currently have them losing in my round of 32 to Tennessee. But
you're buying into the AAC, huh?
No, I'm not. And that TV deal is kind of atrocious. But
do you believe in Houston?
No. I think I have Houston losing second round to Iowa State. Iowa State can light it up.
If anyone's going to go in the AAC, I think it's Houston because they've been a rock-solid team all year.
But Cincinnati's got the Syracuse equation. They turn it into the rock fight. I think Tennessee is one of the more vulnerable two seeds. And you're talking, if you can kind of just force Tennessee to play from the outside and just launch threes over you, I think they're a decent three-point shooting team, but they're streaky. And so if you can force them to play from the outside and be physical with Schofield and Grant Williams, kind of go toe-to-toe with those guys, I think Cincinnati's got a shot to move on. And then you talk a Purdue or a Villanova who also could be vulnerable to playing a more physical team. I'm not picking it, but I like Cincinnati's prospects. I think it's a decent draw for them. I think that there is a path to as far as the Elite Eight.
What do you think of Gonzaga?
Gonzaga?
I know One Shining Pod had them going all the way.
I got them in my Final Four. I think Gonzaga is super solid. I think that the zone... Syracuse has a shot. We could get into this. Mm-hmm. We can get into this later. Syracuse has a shot, and then you get Florida State. And then you get a Michigan, probably.
Well, they're on the
Texas
right side
Tech.
Of this West bracket.
They're on the right
sure.
side of it, but, dude, it's a drag in this West, man. This West is tough. And Gonzaga, they've got the best win this season. Now, people were saying, Syracuse has the best win this season. No, it's Gonzaga, because Gonzaga played a healthy Duke. I'd rather play a Cam Reddish and Tyus Jones less. Tyus? Trey?
Yeah, Trey Jones.
Trey Jones, I'm sorry. Tyus Jones and Cam Reddish less Duke team in Cameron than I would the Zion will like a full squad on the road in Maui. Gonzaga beat him at full strength back on December 23rd. I like Gonzaga a lot. I think that, and Tilly, I forget his first name. Tilly's going to be healthy. He's getting in game shape.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, they got the big men. They always got the big men on Gonzaga, going back to Kelly Olynyk and Sabonis. And
got him in my Final Four.
If we're going to get to them, though, we got to get through Baylor first. So let's check Baylor. In on Baylor.
Hey, nice segue, dude. Are you a podcaster? You podcaster, dude?
Oh, but real quick, what are your Final Four teams?
Final Four. Gonzaga? Final Four, I got Gonzaga, Duke, Virginia, Kentucky, Duke winning it all. Talk about a little chalky, but chalky might win you your bracket this year.
Imagine this. My conference bias is going to show a little bit here.
Little.
UNC, Florida State, Duke, and Virginia. Give me another ACC tournament.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Duke-UNC final is what everyone's dreaming of, I think.
And you got UNC. You're picking against Zion.
Yep.
I mean, I get that point. It's a coin flip, so.
They lost by one in the ACC tournament. I'll get them on this one.
There's a little bracket strategy, a little bracket gamesmanship here, because I imagine a lot of people are going to pick Duke. So just a heads up, folks, maybe if you're in these brackets that really value the national champion, it might be wise of you to go with a not unconventional pick, but not a Duke. Maybe not even a Gonzaga. Gonzaga seems to be like
NC's got a good path too.
NC State, yeah. NC, Coast team. I'm sorry, yeah. NC has a good path, and I like, yeah. Their path, they're the path of least resistance. They're a hot team. I think NC is a good pick. They're a good pick if you're kind of just trying to give yourself a good shot. I don't know. I like Duke.
All right, back to Baylor. So Baylor. We got to give a shout out to our guy over at the SB Nation Baylor site, Kendall Cott, who wrote about the turnover dynamic in this game.
Kind of a cool name, Kendall Cott.
Yeah.
Go give it a read. Kendall Cott of, what is this website called?
This is our Daily Bears.
Yeah, our Daily Bears.
So he did some, you know, scatter plots, great charts here to show the turnover and surprising results. When the opponent turns the team over more, Baylor's turnovers go up, and vice versa.
When Syracuse plays teams that turn it over, they really capitalize.
Yeah.
So,
and we saw that against Duke, too. You know, Duke's a turnover-prone team, and they turn Duke over a lot in the ACC tournament. So that definitely came into play right there.
We're in pretty good shape because Baylor's so prone to these turnovers, and we turn people over a lot, like you just said. And what I'm not seeing from this team is like a phenomenal shooting team. So if we can kind of just like, you know, do what we do and force teams to launch over our zone, and then they start getting into these empty possessions, and we can rebound decently well. What scares me is the offensive rebounding. They're 14th in the country in offensive rebounding.
Yeah, I think we can swing with second chance points as long as they're putbacks. And we were able to against Duke because they were just putting it over like crazy on us. We still bounce back from every deficit that they face there. So as long as those are putbacks, it's fine. The kickout threes become a problem. But like you said, this team doesn't shoot the three-point shot very well. They're pretty offensively challenged as a whole, ranking 200th in points per game. You did say, though, in terms of KenPom, they have they were pretty high up there. So.
Yeah, so KenPom, they're actually 28th in adjusted offensive efficiency, which is weird because their percentages aren't great when you look at their basketball reference page. You're talking, I don't know, can you read off those numbers for me?
Yeah, they're 34% from three, 67% from the free throw line. So, I mean, like, those are the two most important shots in basketball. I guess they went up to 37% in conference play. And here's the thing. I mean, Baylor was not going to make the tournament.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. Baylor's worse than us at shooting free throws.
That might come into play.
I mean, I was going to mention this. I was going to say, well, you know, Syracuse, not a great free throw shooting team. And
oh, they were so bad to end the year. It was horrific. I don't know what happened because the beginning of the year, as shaky as they looked at times, they were hitting their free throws.
Sometimes you peak when you're filling out your tournament bracket and you say, is this team a good free throw shooting team? And if they're a bad one, it's a deal breaker.
Keep an eye on that.
And Syracuse, bad free throw shooting team. I'm never rooting my orange or counting my orange out, but I don't know, man. 68%, but they're even worse.
I just always say, and we're going to have to dig a little deeper into how much zone Baylor saw this year, but if a team can't do it on the offensive end, they're probably not going to beat Cuse, because we've seen Cuse against the bad offensive teams, especially in the ACC this year. They'll really just strangle them down, and even if they score like 65, 60 points, they'll still be able to get it done. And that's what they did in the tournament last year, if we're comparing this favorably to past Syracuse teams, which KenPom did.
Yeah. That was a pretty good article. But I have one thing to chip in before we segue over to that. Thinking out loud here and half joking. So basically, if you think it's a good idea, we'll say it was serious. If you don't, we'll say it was serious. Ready? Syracuse could use its depth in this game, right? Play physical, guard the rim at all costs. Chukwu, Sidibe, Dolajai. Guard the rim. Even if it means you got to be a little more chippy than usual. So play tough on the boards, guard the rim. If you put them at the free throw line, maybe they shoot themselves into a hole and they end up with a lot of 1 point or empty possessions because we are playing so physical. And obviously you get away with better defense on the defensive end for some of those possessions. You're not fouling them every time.
Yep.
So maybe it would be advantageous for Syracuse to come out and establish that physical presence on the interior from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think they've done a good job with that. O'Shea Brissett in particular has done a good job with that.
Yeah, he's been good inside for us.
Yeah, he's been looking a little bit better, and he really is the key to, like, you know, can this team make a leap come tournament time? He's been the missing piece all year long, really, because everybody's had their moment.
Missing is one way to say it.
Even Chukwu's had his moment this year. We still haven't really seen Brissett at the level he played at last year, start to finish this season.
I feel like we're getting into a territory where it might be a little late. I mean, you're talking Elijah Hughes has only one less block on the season than O'Shea Brissett. That's kind of sweet. And his blocks are flashy. Yeah, I love when he comes in and gives it a nice
slam. I wrote earlier this year, he's the most electric shot blocker you ever see at his size. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And yeah, he had some big ones in the ACC tournament, too.
Maybe we'll have to recirculate that article. Get people hyped up for that. And then I'll clip a few Elijah Hughes blocks. We'll get the whole thing going. Get back on the bandwagon. So KenPom, let's talk about it.
Yeah. This is a good indication of what Syracuse could be capable of this tournament, because you got the right one seed that you want to see. You don't want to see the three ACC one seeds. You're on the right side of this West bracket. Like, I think the toughest team you could run into after Gonzaga is Florida State, really. Right. And, you know, at that point, you're in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight territory. So, I mean, Gonzaga's going to be the big one to get past.
Right.
But, go ahead.
So, premise of this article. It's Ken Pomeroy of he has his own website, KenPom, that we often refer to. He also writes for The Athletic sometimes. He wrote comparisons for potential title contending teams, and he calculated it by how many tournament wins you aligned with. I think it's more complicated than that.
Know.
Yeah, you can read it more closely. I don't have time to explain it, reread it and then explain it. But all I know is that he was comparing current teams to past title teams. He had 12 teams on his list that he considered title contenders, and I don't think that's all of them, but these were the 12 that he decided to note. Syracuse was one of them, guys. Kind of interesting. That's kind of fun. He caveated it with the status of Tyus Battle, which we all understand entirely. However, he comped this Syracuse team to the 2016 Final Four team and the 2013 Final Four team and the 2014 UConn Final Four team. It's kind of sweet.
And it makes sense, too, because what differentiates this team from last year's team is you got the wing scoring. You got Hughes, you got Boeheim, you got Battle. That reminds me a lot of 2016 when they were able to rely on Trevor Cooney, Malachi Richardson. Even Michael Beneger really scored like a perimeter player, wing-type player back then. So that team
and had the Tyler Lydon presence, dude. He was huge. Was that Tyler Lydon?
Yep, and Roberson huge in that tournament. So, you know, you have a similar force inside in Chukwu now when he's at his best. And you got...
We just don't have that shooting, like the big man shooting threat like Lydon. But we didn't have Buddy Boeheim. We didn't have a sniper like that.
I mean, if they want to become that 2016 Cuse team, it's got to be Brissett doing what Lydon did back then.
And you need Buddy Boeheim to maintain his shooting prowess. You need Tyus Battle to return to his scoring. You need BC. I mean, we don't need that every time. But remember that BC takeover? We need that Tyus Battle mentality in these games.
Battle's going to be a big one, too, because you know he's going to be taking a lot of shots when he's out there, and he struggled with that volume shooting to end the season.
Yeah.
When it got more spread out without him, and this isn't to say, like, maybe they're better without Battle, they played differently, more spread out. Howard seemed more free with the big minutes. Like, it worked without him. Now he's going to have to come back in and make shots if he's going to be taking a lot of big shots now, playing the minutes at point guard like they did before. There's a lot riding on him as well. I mean, him and Brissett were the two guys who drove them last year. They take a little bit of a step back this season. Other guys have supported them and the roles that they have. They're going to have to get back to being those front men now that they're in the tournament. You know, I just couldn't have imagined the bracket lining up any more perfectly for them, though.
You're that excited about it, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I've believed in this team all year. I know I have them going down to Florida State if they do get past Gonzaga. But here's, you know, we'll wait to see what happens on Thursday. I'm just of the notion they haven't lost a first-round game since 06. They're not going to lose to Baylor.
It's a pretty good stat. Yeah, I'm in on it, too. You said Syracuse is a 2-point favorite?
Yeah, so let's ride that to the moon.
2-point favorite. I don't know. All right, let's talk lines here. I kind of like the 2 points.
Ah, come on.
I don't know. I don't like wagering on games that I already have a vested interest in because I don't like raising the stakes even more. I'm not a thrill seeker like that.
Well, if Q's is going to win, I think it'll be by more than one, so I feel safe about that.
Yeah, true. Get the push at worst.
All right, so Thursday, 9:55, I believe.
Well, that'll get changed.
That's going to get changed to 10:30. So we'll probably record an emergency podcast after that one.
Yeah, you know what? Let's, Bobby, I'm going to speak for myself here. No, I'm going to speak for both of us. We're going to lock it in. We're recording the podcast.
All right.
Now, I don't know.
We'll unpeel the game right after.
We'll unpeel the game right after. And folks, maybe we'll go live on Periscope as well. I don't know how we'll do that from separate places. Because I will not be here. I don't know. We'll figure out something. And I'm putting it down right now. We'll go live. We'll at least have content available for you guys in the morning. We'll have noons. We'll have all the coverage. Make sure you're sticking with us through this NCAA tournament. It's the best time of the year, guys. Let's enjoy it. Let's have a lot of fun. Enjoy watching the games. Hopefully you get off from work or at least a half day. I mean, your boss is being mean to you if you're not. At least on Friday, too, right?
Yeah, or you should be in college like we are and not skip class, have the weekend Thursday at 12.
So, all right, guys. For Bobby Manning, I'm Dylan Finer. I'm at DFines31 on Twitter. Bobby?
At RealBobManning.
And we got the blog at Noons Magician. Go check us out, noonsmagician.com. Thank you for tuning in to Troy Noons is an Absolute Magician. Troy Noons is an Absolute Podcast. This is Unpeeling Syracuse Basketball. Good night, everyone, and let's go Orange.